I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It was Harbaugh or Lamar conversation in the last handful of days. I don't know, but like, there was also the commentary from Chris Collinsworth during that game was so odd to me. Like, he went in on Lamar Jackson. He questioned his football ability. He stopped just short of questioning his character in that moment in that game. And I don't think Chris freestyled that. I've never liked the Baltimore Ravens owner.
Well, he might not have. And he might have been talking to the guy who was leaking all this stuff before, which is why they had a problem.
Could be John Harbaugh.
The one thing that I think about with Lamar, and it's so interesting, like this is how football works for how we talk about it, is Lamar got hurt this year, didn't play for X amount of games or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was there earlier in the season, he was perfectly fine. Lamar wasn't the reason why they were losing games. When he came back, I think he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't.
I think he played most of the year.
Yeah, he wasn't dynamic. Mm-hmm. He wasn't playing great or anything else like that. Chips are down on Sunday Night Football to go to the playoffs. Lamar didn't do nothing wrong to lose that game. But that's how we look at it. Like, Lamar couldn't get it done again. Week one, what, they scored 41 points and they had a 23-point lead. What more you want him to do?
See, but now Derrick Henry's going to be older. I mean, do we love Zay Flowers as the number one? Mark Andrews is older. If I can make a comparison, it's like the Ravens, like we talk about Jimmy Butler and that Sixers team, like that was kind of their moment. It feels like the Ravens' moment was when Mark Andrews dropped that football.
Well, their moment was,
or in the playoffs, whenever that happened.
Yeah, when Zay Flowers fumbled at the goal line.
Yeah.
That was the team.
Like, it's kind of, I think, like, yeah, you can try to build this team up again, but that's going to be a tough task. Like, I think Lamar's going to be successful, like, probably make playoffs and things like that. But as far as Super Bowl, I don't think it's happening.
Now, their front office has done it because they've had a couple of moments, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can say their moment was
that, moments to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was 2019 when they were dominant and lost in the first round to Tennessee. I forgot who the running back, that was Ingram as the running back there with Lamar. And that was, felt like their moment. Fast forward to what we just talked about, 4 years later, they're there again.
Mm-hmm.
New players, they got Derrick Henry in that aspect, made some moves, made the right moves, and here they are with a moment to win a championship. I'll give their front office a little credit to say all those things that you talk about are real concerns, that they'll make the necessary moves. Now, a cynic might say John Harbaugh was there for those 2 years, and he won a championship and was there for a previous regime that was successful. He's the one.
Made it work with two different quarterbacks?
Yeah. That somebody would say he's the one. He's why you kept having these new opportunities. We'll find out. But I'll give – because of the personnel and changing the personnel a number of different times and still getting back to that top level where you're one of the championship contenders, I'm going to give that front office credit for that.
No, go ahead.
If I'm arguing you, I'm a big John Harbaugh fan, but if I'm arguing you, you talk about John Harbaugh being there for this, and this. Lamar Jackson saved John Harbaugh's job. That's not revisionist history whatsoever. John Harbaugh was on his way out the door when Joe Flacco was his quarterback. Joe Flacco got hurt. Lamar Jackson came in, did what he did, and that got us to Monday or Sunday or whatever day it was that John Harbaugh was fired.
Yeah.
That got us to this point years and years later. Lamar saved John Harbaugh's job for at least, what are we at, 7 years?
Yeah.
Maybe six, or seven, whatever. But a good chunk of time, a coaching career for many. He did that for him.
Yep. Yep. I think if they're committed to Lamar, if they still believe in him, I'm not going to change my answer and say it's not an overreaction, but I do think they can still stay in that championship mix in Baltimore with Lamar if they're committed to him.
I think they're going to take a couple years off as far as being like true Super Bowl contenders. Now you got the Patriots coming in here. We don't know about the Jags. Like, are they finally legit? The Broncos look like they've arrived too. This is now it's not the Chiefs, Bills, and them anymore.
Last one, real quick. Eddie Gonzalez joins us here in minutes. The Dallas Cowboys will win double-digit games next year.
It's overreaction.
Feels like an overreaction, but I don't put it past Jerry. I don't know. Yeah, it feels like an overreaction.
I think they're going
to... Seven wins this year, right?
Yeah, seven wins. Right? Best.
Offense was really good. It was like the fourth best offense.
What if the defense is just average? Shout out. Throwback.
Still average. I hope you're listening.
Shout out, Jill.
Well, are they going to keep Pickens?
I don't know.
He was... For like 4 weeks, like the best receiver.
There was
in football.
Already rumblings that Jerry Jones might not talk to his agent.
Jerry, wow, bro.
You know what? That is an overreaction. Jerry Jones is in fact still in charge. We'll come back. Eddie Gonzalez joins us here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We're back here. Our man Eddie Gonzalez joining us fresh off a workout. KC isn't even in on this. We just learned Cody Rhodes lost the title. Cody Rhodes got beat by Drew McIntyre today.
Where are they at?
Germany.
I'm over here reading spoilers.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre?
Yes. Yes.
All right, I'm glad I'm out, bro.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad. I don't even know what's crazy. Going on, man.
I can't tell. Eddie's excited or upset? Cody.
No, I was going to say, are we doing full spoilers? Because Sacramento made themselves heard in this match too, so I'm like real locked in now. I'm about to watch.
Oh, what did you do?
Man, that's a hell of a I see you. I see you. Okay, I see you. Oh, all right, man. Sacramento, stand up. I see you.
Yeah, that I mean is
man. Yo, what sort of barbaric workout did you just finish?
No, I'm relaxing. I'm actually doing some work over here.
Okay.
So I did a workout this morning that was pretty stupid.
I thought you might have been jumping with, 50-pound dumbbells in your hand or something.
Bro, don't remind me. I don't want no parts of that.
I saw that. Watching you hesitate, I was like, oh, no, don't do it, Eddie. Don't jump, Eddie. Don't do it.
So the trainer I work with, his name's Antoine, and he's like, I'm known now in his little circle of people he trains. It's like, he'll just try whatever I tell them to do. They'll fight back. Like, no, I can't do that. That's too much. It's just, my dumb ass will, like, maybe I can do that. Maybe I can box jump with a barbell on my back. I guess. But that one, that was a little scary. But I did it. So
yeah, you did.
Good stuff, man.
I made it work.
Hey, how good are both of you guys at jump rope?
Oh, great.
Terrible.
No, I'm really
I'm terrible.
Good. Yeah, that's a good warm-up.
Yeah, I was... been incorporating the jump rope in lately. It's just nothing major.
Nah, it's really good work, but I'm just awful at it.
Yeah. Do the one. Yes. I do the
I can't do the cross thing that all the boxers do. I can't do that. Yeah.
I can do the most I can do right now is the the double hop on one leg.
Mm-hmm. Can you do that?
I could do that. That's where it ends.
Mm-hmm. can you do like a double the little jump? Running? Yeah.
I could do the double jump.
Some guys do it kind of like as a skip jog type thing. Some guys can do it like that.
Not there.
I'm terrible at jump rope. I get like 10, 15 in a row, and it's like, boom, kicked it. All right. Nah, that's all again.
So I want to, there was something that just happened that I wanted to talk
Drew about. Drew McIntyre won the title. That's what it was.
You got me. that I just saw though when I was out that I want to run past both of you guys. But the tweet that you were talking about, I believe, you're talking about, your tweet that says the Kings should just go get Ja. I'm gonna pull a Drewski. What you talking about? What you mean by that? What you mean by that?
I mean, that's one of the teams that seems to be involved here. It like if you're asking me, and what I mean by that tweet in general is they're not going to acquire a player of that stature without something like this happening, without his stock plummeting to the point where his franchise says, I'm out. And they have some contracts to make this work. They are going to be in a patient rebuild, supposedly. 26-year-old former All-Star doesn't always become available to the Sacramento Kings. And I feel like when they do, you should go make that happen. One of the most popular sneakers in the world right now, a very exciting player,
What are
type of
you?
player you can build around and, I think build around and win some games. Now, do you have to build a very specific team around him? For sure. But I would rather have this piece, which is probably the hardest piece, and then figure out the rest over the next couple of years. And much like Trae Young and much like LaMelo Ball and a few other guys, I think Ja would just benefit from a fresh start and would understand what that means when he gets that opportunity. And there's not too many of these to go around. So I seen one of the guys I seen thrown around this week was Steve Nash. It's like, yeah, Steve was cool in Dallas. Steve went to Phoenix and became a whole new thing. They're saying that for Trae, but there's something to that for Ja as well. He's gotten a little banged up over his years, and you lose a little bit of that explosiveness in his game. But again, I think somewhere where he can be the centerpiece outright, and a team that's going to have to take their time would be a great landing spot for him. But can the Kings beat whatever Minnesota would offer or whatever Miami would offer? We're going to find out because we don't really know what Memphis's priorities are here. They're in that middle ground where theoretically they could push forward with Jaren Jackson and try to compete now, or if they want a complete teardown, maybe they want more picks than the Kings have and things of that nature. But if I'm the Kings, I'm going all in on John Morant, and I think they will.
You mentioned so here's my concern. Here's my concern with what you just said. You said that the King that the Ja needs a specific team built around him. And I wonder how important a player like Jaren Jackson Jr. is to the building of a Ja Morant team, because Sacramento has nothing even. By the way, Jaren Jackson Jr., the only player of that 2018 draft who's still on the players we talk about the most who's still on the team that drafted him. DeAndre been moved, Marvin been on multiple teams, Luka's been moved, and now Trey's been moved. And there's Jaren Jackson, making $300 million or whatever it is. But you don't have that in Sacramento. You don't have anything that even remotely resembles that in Sacramento. So what's that ultimately look like, at least for the first year with Ja Morant here?
It's going to be tough. And it depends on what you're going to put around him. If you're going to do the complete teardown, if you're going to see what you can get for Domas, I mean, a Ja trade almost has to be Zach or DeMar. So that's gone. You've taken that off. Like, what do you do from there? But we talked about this on the show a couple times. They need a multi-year build. Like, it needs to be ugly for a little bit before it can be anything decent in Sacramento, because they need to compile some picks. They need to hit on those picks, and then they need to put together ancillary pieces and vets. So that's like kind of like my question mark I would have. If, like, if you're trying to foster this culture or this standard in your locker room, is Ja the guy to lead that charge? I don't think he has not shown to be that guy. And that's coming from a big Ja Morant fan. Now, whether you feel that's overrated or not, the Kings do need some sort of stasis in their organization, something they just have not had. And what they remind me of, and I hate to say it, and I'm sure Kenny's gonna get a little laugh out of this. They remind me of the Raiders. Like,
Spot on.
the Raiders need way more than a quarterback right now,
Yeah.
but they need to take a quarterback. That's the hardest part you're going to have to do in this rebuild, is draft a quarterback. Is Mendoza a guy? I don't know. Let's hold the conversation. But they need stasis too. We're going in the head coach number, whatever, and however many years, and general manager, however, and however many years. And now Tom Brady is leading the charge. So that's the fifth voice in 7 years that's leading the charge. That's what the Kings have been dealing with as well. And if you look at the successful franchises in the NBA right now, you're looking at, look, the Knicks or the what are they just came off losing like 500, but they've had the same front office for X amount of time. Boston Celtics obviously have the same front office. Oklahoma City Thunder have the same front office for ages. And like teams are building on that stasis and that kind of like singular focus on what their goal is, not only for obviously you want to win, but what they want their team to look like year in, year out, who they want to coach the team, the philosophies they want to have in that team. The Kings have not had that since Rick Adelman. like it's been some time, and that's a big part that they need to figure out as well.
I've talked to D'Lo about this a few times. I want to run this by you as well, Eddie. Jerry Reynolds, Sacramento legend. Sacramento
legend.
Jerry Reynolds. He was in the studio about a month ago, and you know, he was filling in, and we were talking about just basketball in general, philosophy of team building in the league and stuff like that. And he said something that I have not been able to get over since he said it, probably because he's right. But I asked him, you know, what percentage of players in the league can benefit from a change of scenery? And he came up with the number. He was like, I'd say 90-95% of the players in the league need to not be with the team that drafted them at some point in their career. And when he talked about it, I thought about, it's like, yeah, like who stays with that same team the whole time? It don't happen like that. Do you subscribe to that theory where like eventually these guys need to leave the team that drafted them and kind of reestablish themselves or rebrand themselves to a certain degree with a new team and a new franchise?
Yeah, not to make this deeper than it needs to be, but I think that applies to life in general. Like, don't stick nowhere where you're not satisfied, where it's not working for you, where you're not able to build your fullest potential. Now, I know in basketball, we have this kind of philosophy of, like, you stick it through. That's how you become great. You win the one title with the one team, that's better than winning the four with the four teams or whatever, however you may feel. But, I mean, we are talking about, you know, noted friend of Kevin Durant. And I'm like, yo, you got to be in a better place. Why wait around? What other job would you stick around and be miserable and knowing your talent's being capped off and knowing that you can be somewhere else doing better other than sports? So I 100% believe that. I think it's funny he said 99% because, you know, you think of the outliers. I look at somebody like Steph Curry right now who's never going to leave. But if you look at him right now, like, yo, there's 10 better situations for him in the league right now, and they would all take him right this second. He won't do it, but that does kind of fall into what Jerry was saying. Like, yeah, even Steph should leave. Even Kobe should have left. He had great opportunity. He tried to, you know. So, like, I agree with the philosophy for sure, and I think this is probably, like, the hot take of this point, but the league would be better if the guys were – further chasing success in that way, because again, we wouldn't have three down years of Steph Curry. We'd have him on a contender somewhere, like really loading up. And I always think the league is better when we have better teams, like whether we have the super villain super team or we just have a really top heavy league. But when we have this set of four, five, six teams that are just incredible, the league is better.
Since the theme of this conversation is change, we saw some change in the league earlier this week. Trae Young's headed to Washington. There was speculation about what Atlanta's going to do next. I'm guessing that's going to quiet down given the Anthony Davis news here today. Yeah. But what do you think about the Trae Young move, and what do you think his actual future is with the Washington Wizards?
Yeah, it sounds like he may not play this year, period. I'm actually in Washington right now. Funny enough, I'm gonna see the Pelicans and not Trae Young and the Wizards tonight.
Damn,
just a coincidence. I didn't notice this happening.
That game is crazy to go see. Pelicans and non Trae Young Wizards. Wow.
I'm out here to see some friends, and it was like I'll probably go to a game. I'm in town, but you know, I asked around a little bit in league circles. Just like, how do y'all feel about this? Like, I didn't love it until I talked to more people and kind of got an idea of where Trey's at as well. And, you know, he's here to build for the long haul. I wouldn't be surprised if pretty soon, or at least at the very beginning of the summer, we hear that he signs a massive contract extension, maybe a max deal, but again, a 3-4 year deal. He's in here for the long haul to build with this franchise. And knowing that now, that makes more sense. And it's kind of the Ja Morant situation too, where Ja's going to have to, if it's Sacramento, have to like not humble himself, but like sit in that situation knowing like this is a 3-4 year situation. Like we're going to have to get through the ruts. They got a lot of talented young dudes here in Washington. You know, maybe they're moving on from SARS, or maybe somebody, like people who are kind of wondering, but they got a lot of talented wings here, and Trey has seen a lot in this league. And it's also going back to this, to John's point as well, it's kind of similar to the team that Trey is always going to need. Big, rangy wings who hit shots, who shoot threes, who help him, who complement his game and make him better. If he has the right philosophy, and it sounds like he does, I think it's a great spot for him. The other option I heard, which was kind of like it was always a one-team race, was the Raptors. And if he goes to the Raptors, it's a different deal, obviously, but it's probably RJ and Quickly and something else. But I don't think he was ready to be thrust into whatever that situation may be and that level of expectation right now. He's ready here for the slow build to kind of build up his reputation again. And I like it for him. I like it for him. I've always been a big Trae Young fan. I know what he kind of takes away from your team, but I feel like he adds a lot to your team as well. And again, even if he doesn't play this year, and he might just play a little bit next year, it'll be better. And I think they'll continue to grow and continue to add pieces here.
So what I had just kind of heard and wanted to run by both of you guys while I had stepped out is there was a clip of DeMarcus Cousins talking on running back with Lou Will. And he talked about, I don't know if you've seen this, Eddie, but
Rick Carlisle clip?
Well, no, that one's wild. We definitely got to talk about that.
I thought that was
hilarious. But Kendrick Perkins the other day on his podcast said the Hornets are intentionally sabotaging LaMelo Ball and lowering his value on purpose. And DeMarcus Cousins said he wasn't like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. But he's like, yeah, I can see that. He said, I think Atlanta did that with Trey. I think they're doing it with LaMelo. I think Memphis is doing it with Ja. I think the Warriors doing it with Kuminga. Like they're sabotaging these guys. And I got to really like think about what he's saying before I have agree or disagree. But let me ask you guys, like, you think that's what's happening with some of these guys?
I mean, I think in certain situations, some guys are held back, and very intentionally so. A lot of people will bring up the Warriors situation. And my issue with Kuminga and the Warriors is, like, he might just not be good. It's a lot of fuss about nothing to me with the Warriors, but we've seen other teams have players, you know, just in adverse situations when they don't need to be, and just played out of position, played out of their role that would be best for them. I mean, you could argue it's happened to Kevin a few times where everybody's upset he's parked in the corner, and it's like, you know, that benefits the team in a different way. Anyway, but I think you've seen that. Now, are they tanking LaMelo's value so they don't have to pay him? They already paid him. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my issue with that. Same thing for Ja, same thing for Trey. Like, maybe Trey now, because he's extension eligible, but he got hurt. You know, they didn't want him to be hurt. If anything, they wanted his value up so they could get more from a trade than CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert. So I don't know. I have some issue with that, but I do think there are situations in the league, and much like any job and occupation, a lot of it is built on relationships and, you know, currying favor with certain people, where some better players probably aren't playing over worse players because they just have better relationships with the front office or the coach or whomever is in charge of making these decisions. But if you're tanking LaMelo right now, knowing you want to trade him, that's just poor management in that sense.
It doesn't add up to me.
The only thing that I would say, I haven't really found a way it adds up either. But if you don't want the player around, if they're, how do I put this? If like LaMelo is like the superstar, let's do Trey, for example. If Trey is the superstar, he's playing, everything's good. Like, doesn't it feel like it might be more difficult to trade him because money's got to work, all this other stuff? If you just want him gone, you can say, this guy's no good, or he doesn't help us win, or he's bad in a locker room, or something like that.
But you run into the thing that we talked about earlier with Kuminga. You've spent 2 years telling us he's not good. He's this in the locker room. He's that. He's this problem. He's that. Despite the fact his teammates are saying something completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of these different stories are getting floated out, you know, to people who have strong connections to the team. And it's like that is not benefiting them.
Yeah.
It's not benefiting them at all.
I agree with you guys. Yeah. It was just
That's the thing. I think if anything, you see the inverse, where like Jimmy tanked his value last year in an effort to like, you have to trade me. But he had like the leverage of, this is my salary number, and you as a team, you have to get something back for me. So like my value can only be tanked so much. If you're a team tanking your asset, it's like, you know, if I was selling you a car, but I took the rims off and I let all the oil out and I told you too, like, yo, I did all this, but you can buy the car for what I'm charging anyway, if you want. You're like, what?
Them streets of DC is wild, man. You need to be careful while you're out there in the in the nation's capital. Them streets is a little.
I hear you.
in a strange sentence, you did mention you're going to see the Pelicans tonight. We were looking at their squad earlier for some reason. I can't remember why, bro.
Because they said they're not trading a bunch of people.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yo, there's some talent, some really good young talent on that squad. I don't know what the excuse is for them being this bad.
No, I look at their roster and I don't get it. Almost every time I watch them play, they play a really competitive game with the Rockets earlier this year. And I was just like, yo, like, aren't they supposed to be good? Mm. But, you know, and you every time you watch Zion, you feel like, oh, like, this is it. I get it. And then we don't see him again for a month or whatever it is. But a lot of talent, a lot of like modern talent too. Trey Murphy is this rangy shooter who can defend. And then you got Herb Jones, who is like super modern defender who defends four positions and is all over the place. It's like not only just talented guys, but like those should be winning guys. Mm-hmm. And everybody likes Isaiah Fears. And then Jordan Poole obviously has been part of a winner, and think what you will of his, you know, his game or whatever. But It kind of doesn't make sense. People are higher on their coach when Willie Green got fired too. I don't know. I think some organizations in some situations just foster losing habits in a lot of ways and just unserious basketball. I think that's the same thing that's happening in Charlotte. And like, we didn't really get into the LaMelo stuff, but I had conversations this week where it's like, yo, I still believe in LaMelo's talent, but like, he's been playing meaningless basketball for like 10 years going back to high school. Yeah. He's never had to win basketball games or play in a role that's beneficial towards winning. It's just been this. He's probably just learned awful habits or just doesn't care. Mm. And now if you put LaMelo on the Minnesota Timberwolves, is he suddenly a better player because it's a more serious organization? I don't know. But I think he'll be in a better position to utilize his talents. And I think it's the same for all of the guys we just mentioned on the Pelicans. I wish Trey Murphy would get traded somewhere where I get to see him with a great guard and an athletic center and a smart offense where he's just like killing corner threes and attacking closeouts all night. I wish that would be great. I wish we got to see Herb Jones on the, you know, I keep saying the Wolves, but like a team like that who's athletic and defends all night is going to be perfect for him. But we're just not getting that. And I don't know what the Pelicans are holding on to. Like a couple of years ago, the rumor was they were going to trade Zion to the Hornets for the pick that ended up becoming Brandon Miller and just pulled out last minute. Like, the time to cut the cord for a lot of this was a long time ago. So I have no clue what they're holding on to now.
Real quick, you're talking about LaMelo. Did you see LaMelo last night?
Yeah.
LaMelo.
Yeah, he scored like 30 in like 15 minutes, right? Like,
yeah, it was also the first time he took that shot. Kind of a step back. He took a shot at the end, near the end of regulation. They asked him about it. They asked him about it after the game. And it was the first time I've ever heard LaMelo go, yeah, I don't think I should have taken that. that probably wasn't the one I should have taken.
That was literally the first time it happened.
Like, I don't think he's ever said that before. That wasn't the one for me. Probably tough luck.
The clip went around of him scoring 92 points the other day. It was like, what's the most hidden moment you ever seen? And they're triple teaming him without the ball, and he still gets open. He still makes it crazy three. And it's just like, that makes perfect sense in high school. Mm. It's just never going to be able to play basketball like that again when it matters. No. And it's great ball, great handler. I wouldn't call him a great shooter, but he's a capable, good shooter. He can make shots. Mm-hmm. He can score. He's got great court vision. That should matter somewhere, and it just hasn't yet.
Rick Carlisle won his 1,000th game last night. That game that the Pacers beat Charlotte ended their longest losing streak in franchise history. Jeez. He had been on 999 for 13 straight games.
Oh, my gosh. Yo, since before Christmas. I don't get that team either. Like, yo, I know they're missing Halliburton, but Nembhard and Pascal Siakam should be able to gut out some wins here. Right. Like, I have no clue what's going on with that team.
They might Miles just
Turner be, could
they,
not have cost them that much.
They might just be vibing.
They look awful.
They might just be vibing. They're like, hey, we can't
we
do
made
it this
it last year.
Yeah.
We're good, fellas. Yeah.
We'll regroup next year.
And we'll regroup with AJ DeBonstein.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That is crazy.
Thank God he ain't going to the Celtics no more, because, man, they might mess around with the East still.
My
That's,
goodness. Hey, Eddie, before you get out of here, just real quick, I get your predictions. Wild card weekend. You got the Niners
Eagles,
and who else winning?
Eagles.
Niners and who else winning?
Eagles. I got the Chargers losing. I got the Broncos losing when they play. Like,
Broncos
when
you play this week, got them losing.
You know what my favorite kind of thing this playoffs is, I like watching Matt Stafford play. Like, I don't mean to be that guy, but I just kind of love an old school quarterback who can literally make every throw. Puka's fun. Like, that Rams team is fun. I like watching him play. I'm super rooting for the Niners to not play at home Super Bowl. So, like, that's really my only betting interest here. Would love the Chargers to lose. Would love the Broncos to lose. I'm definitely on, like, I'm just here to have fun this week. Like, I'm here to see it. I want to see how far the Texans can go, though, because I'm a CJ Stroud fan. And he's hit or miss. Like, it seems like the pass rush gets to him a lot, but that defense they got is ridiculous. So I want to see what they do. I saw Drake May in person, which was like his legacy game against the Jets. He scored like 5 touchdowns. I just believe it now. Like, I don't know what to think of these quarterbacks who, not to be Cam Newton, but, like, they're just game managers, but they're, like, the greatest game managers I've ever seen. I'm a little scared we're going to get, like, a boring Super Bowl. It's, like, the Patriots and the Eagles or something. But that's football now.
And Bad Bunny. Eddie, we appreciate you, my man. Enjoy the Pelicans and Wizards tonight.
Man, I love basketball, guys. I'm about
clearly.
To watch this Cody Rhodes match, though.
That's crazy. Cody lost the belt. I'm still tripping off that. What?
Eddie got a glow now that he learned Cody lost.
Yo, I'm like, geek. CM Punk's the champ. Cody Rhodes is out, and he's not even – they're nowhere near each other. Like, keep him away from Roman Reigns. Like, keep him in the mid – let him go bump for the U.S. title and be a – what he's supposed to be, gold dust.
Him and Zack Ryder going to tag team with each other.
Yeah. Him and Austin Theory can do whatever they got to do down there for another belt. No, it's just a regular match. Like, just – Open the doors with them.
Eddie, we appreciate you, boy. Thank you.
See you later, gay.
All right. That's a man, Eddie Gonzalez. He does not like Cody Rhodes.
I
oh,
gotta
my
see this
God.
Clip. I gotta see this clip of Cody losing.
Yeah, I don't know if the clip's even out there. I gotta see that. I might watch. Nah, I keep saying that. I'm gonna watch that match tonight. No, I'm not. Our friend texted me. He was like, hey, you wanna watch something? Go watch this 2-hour Dynamite show.
All right.
I was like, all right. I have it.
I'm not going to go play with Dynamite, what?
Yeah.
Hey, their matches are way too long on AEW.
Do a flip. Man, you're going to get a text.
Do another flip.
All right, hey, it's not me.
The
we'll
matches are like 25 minutes long. All of them.
He did another flip.
Dante Hill joins us coming up at 3:15. We'll get into Wild Card Weekend. We'll actually get Kenny's final thoughts on this 49ers-Eagles game as well, and get into that trade that we saw on ESPN involving the Kings and the Lakers. That's as we continue here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 13.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
20. I'm going to be out at the Kings game coming up on Monday when they take on Los Angeles on behalf of the Westfield Galleria at Roseville. It's something we're doing multiple times this year to celebrate 25 years of the Westfield Galleria in Roseville. When the big QR code and the Westfield Galleria logo appears on the screen, scan it with your phone. You can instantly win prizes like mini buns from Cinnabon, discounts from Vent State and Liberty, studs, $2 Jamba Juice, so much more. And every player is entered to win a $250 gift card. We're awarding 25 winners to celebrate those 25 years. Look for the hot shot activation on court as well. You can take a shot, hit the target, and win even bigger. Scan, play, win. Look for me in the Westfield Galleria at Roseville inside the Golden One Center coming up on Monday when the Sacramento Kings take on Los Angeles. Who, ESPN, had a trade proposal involving the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Lakers.
There we go.
It was Keon Ellis.
Get them. Oh, wait a minute. No. I thought we were giving him Sarek and Devin Carter.
I don't think anyone. No. I think the only one, I think the only entity that is taking those two players is the unemployment line. Perhaps so the G League for funny. One of them.
So simple but funny. But the Lakers get Keon Ellis, huh?
And Dalton Connect comes to Sacramento. Dalton Connect, and I think they said a second round pick. Dalton, they tried to trade him last year. I think it was for Mark Williams, if I remember correctly, the big from Charlotte. He failed a physical, didn't really work out, didn't work out at all. The trade wound up getting voided. The Lakers said, yeah, we're not doing this. And poor Dalton Connect had to just come back and sit on the bench like they didn't just try to trade him. This year, a lot like Keon Ellis, he has a handful of DMPs. His minutes are down to 13 minutes per game, and he's not really the impactful player that we thought he might be his rookie season. This could be the Jerry Reynolds 90% fresh start thing. I'm not really sure. It could be each team filling a certain need. Kings clearing out space in that backcourt. I'm not really sure what, but Keon Ellis for Dalton Connect is an ESPN idea.
I like that deal. I like that deal for Keon, a guy, especially when you look at a guy that, according to James Hamm, Keon ain't coming back. So it's a guy that has a low salary number.
It might be according to Scott Perry, too, but who knows.
He's got a low salary number, so it's going to be hard to just trade him for, you know, something of super value. If you got in a situation where you could get a guy like Dalton Connect, who's a young NBA player, he's not a young guy, he's like 25, I think. But somebody like him, take a chance on him and add a second round pick, kind of feel like it's a pretty good deal if you were able to do that.
Let's see what TC talking about here at 916-909-1320. TC, what's going on, baby?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
Not much, man. How you doing, TC?
Man, I'm vibing, bro. I'm
TC.
Feeling good, man.
Hey, TC, TC, you got your Eagles jersey for this weekend?
Do I got my what?
Your Eagles jersey.
Nah, man, I ain't wearing no Eagles jersey. I'm wearing my Trey Lance jersey. If we really want to be honest, I'm going to wear my Lance jersey, boy, and watch this game, boy. And these boys better pull it up with the boy genius and the real deal. If we really want to start talking, but we talking Kings, though. We talking John Morant. It's people available that we was talking about that this fan base and people want to call in talking about. It's just a matter of fact, heck no to Ja. Ja's better than anybody we got on this Kings team, bro. I called in with a trade earlier to have everybody thinking like, should we do it? Bro, I said Zach LaVine, Devin Carter, and Minnesota's 2031 first-round pick to Memphis. Bro, for Ja Morant and Brandon Clark. And everybody had to think about it. What are we thinking about? Are we like, what?
Would you prefer? Would you prefer we think less?
No, everybody think more, right? That's how you be successful in life. But I'm talking about, these are like no brainers. We're talking about Ja Morant for Zach LaVine and Devin Carter, and people are like, come on, man. We might as well keep the veterans, bro, and be quiet and move forward.
All right. That's right, TJ. Hey, he had something for you, too, when you brought up the Niners and the Eagles jersey. He was ready to go.
He said he's got his Trey Lance jersey on for the game. Did he call him the boy genius?
Boy genius. And
can we isolate the sound of whatever noise TC made right there?
Something like that.
Let me make note. 4 hours and 54 minutes into this broadcast, I'll see if I can pull the sound from that. TC made, that was an interesting moment from TC. Okay. I don't want to trade any first round pick, even if it ain't ours.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I would.
Trey went for nothing. Yeah, Trey went for no first round picks. Everyone says Rudy Gobert. Oh man, he messed up the market. Oh, Kevin Durant. The market. All right. Well, Trey messed up the market for you hoes.
The market is back.
No picks. No picks.
The market is back.
Y'all now, want off these players? No picks.
To your point earlier during the handoff, there's a slight difference contractually.
Yes.
That might
full year. Yeah, you got this year, one full year.
And that might warrant a pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perhaps. And I wouldn't give up any of the Kings picks. I would definitely not. I'd be open to, like, we could have a discussion and kind
Here's
of
a take.
See things about that.
Here's a take. That 2031 Minnesota pick might be more valuable than people are thinking about right now.
It might be.
You know I don't like the Timberwolves. What year is it?
Here they are again, though.
What year is it? Shut up. I told you they could win a title, and I'd be like, ah. It'd be that.
What are they, the fifth seed right now?
Yeah, everyone's kind of clumped up, and like everyone is except for OKC. It's like 11, 12, 13 losses, right?
Yeah.
And that's like Denver, Minnesota, the Lakers. I feel like I'm missing somebody.
You said San Antonio?
San Antonio. That's the other one. Thank you. That's the other one.
The Minnesota's right now the fourth seed, 25-13. A game and a half behind San Antonio, who we all love. I
don't care. They could win every game the rest of the season. I'm going to be like they're losing in the first round.
I think with Anthony Edwards, as long as he's there, they're going to be good. Will he be there in 2031? That's a question. I don't know.
How many years in the league will that be?
Oh, that's a good question.
What year is it? It's 2026. We're talking 5 years from now.
He would have gotten a big-time deal.
Yeah.
He'd probably be, by 31,
He might be due for the third one. No? No, the third one would be.
He's on the second one.
Yeah,
right?
The third one, he'd probably be in the middle of the third one.
Yeah, I was about to say maybe like in the third year of the third deal. You know why I think he'd also stay? And this is like, I don't know, it's just a feeling. I think A-Rod loves him. A-Rod will not let him go.
Let's see, 2028, 2029, so 29, 30, it'd be the second year. Because there's no options.
Too early to force himself, force out of
it. It'd be damn near a Dame Lillard situation where he'd sign the contract and then immediately ask to be out.
So, I mean, that's a long ways from now. We don't know.
He has three more years on this deal before damn. we get to that.
We don't know, but I we've talked about this before. So I think I know where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. We'll ask Jesse as well. If LaVine, whatever TC said, LaVine and I forgot the other player.
Devin.
Devin's
name needs to be in every trade proposal. Don't present something if Devin Carter's name is.
And look, to be fair, if I was Devin Carter, yeah, put me in every trade proposal. This is I can't play on this sorry-ass team. Get me out of here.
Hey, Doug, we're down 40. Can you? Nope. All right.
Nothing. If the X Factor was the Minnesota pick, would you do it? If they said, throw on that Minnesota pick and we got a deal.
Yeah, probably.
I think I would too.
Probably would.
All your concerns are valid.
I don't like
John. All of them are valid. I 100% get it. I'm gambling a little bit. You don't gamble. So I'm gambling a little bit on Ja. Mm-hmm. And
I'm probably the only person who regularly goes to Las Vegas and never looks at a crap table, never looks at a slot machine, never does any of that, just walks right past it.
Yeah, I take the risk with Ja.
I get it.
Ja on the top five, fifth to sixth pick in the draft this year doesn't sound too bad. I mean,
yeah.
Just like you said, you're taking a chance on Ja, though.
And if he's,
do you entertain trying to figure things out with Domantas Sabonis?
Sure. I mean, yeah, sure.
Real quick, what does that look like then?
What do you mean?
Like, is he the second best player on this team? Is he the second guy on this team?
until that pick this year develops, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'm out.
Okay. All right.
Well, you can entertain it and not do it. But I look at if we got a John Morant, I'd start to think about, okay, what does that look like with Domas? Where are we picking? What does that look like with Domas? We get Keegan back. What does that look like with all of them and Domas? And I'd entertain it. And right now I'm out. Right now I'm out. Right now I'm like, I'm ready to move on from them. But you see some things and you talk to Domas a little bit. I don't know. You entertain it.
Let's see what Buddha talking about. It's 3 o'clock on a Friday.
Oh,
Buddha.
My good. No, it's actually 6 o'clock where he's at.
Buddha got to be. Oh, man. So Buddha got to be feeling lit. Great right now. 916-909-1320. What's up, Buddha?
What's up, family? Happy New Year's to my boys, man.
All right, that's the cutoff. Yeah. It's the ninth. That's the cutoff. I don't
it's
want
the
another
ninth.
One.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no more of those. But Happy New Year, brother. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
But, yeah, man, I like the idea of getting Ja. And I don't think that Wolves pick should be a problem because it came from Fox. So you'll basically be getting a little bit, like, you know, just using some of your assets from what you got from Fox to get somebody like Ja. And then you'll still have Zach LaVine to maybe if you make a trade with him or you could keep him and see what happens with that. But I like JK, too. So I like all the stuff that Scott talking about. But I do got a trade proposal.
Oh, okay.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, man, let's get some size for Keon. I say Chris Murray because Keegan, he ain't shooting well, and Chris' problem is he ain't shooting well either. But you see Keegan, he can still be effective even when he's not shooting well, so I think Chris would be another player like Keegan. What you guys think?
Not a fan of his game. Not a fan of Chris Murray's game.
Yeah, I mean.
I'd rather have Dalton connect.
I think I would, too.
Yeah. Buddha must have to work tomorrow. He's like, I can't get turned up tonight.
Eric says, no disrespect to your producer, but Domas is still one of the best bigs in the league.
It's fine, brother. Kevon Looney locked him up round one, and then Mavericks, like, we've seen what it looks like. If you want to tell me otherwise, that's fine.
Nah, but here's the thing, sweetie. He's not one of the best bigs in the league right now. If you want to say he was, that's fine. In fact, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. Like, current tank. No, he's not.
Domas is great, but he's not someone I'm... He's not a top two
no,
player
Domas
on a
is
winning
good.
Team.
Domas is not great. Yeah. Domas is good.
He's good, and even more importantly, it's not the right time with this team. Like, I'm not building around Domas no more.
He can't lift the team.
Yeah.
He can't lift the team. And maybe it's hard for a big to do that, but...
I don't know. I've gotten, as the Sacramento Kings organization, I've got absolutely nothing. I have to build up. I'm not building around Domantas Sabonis.
Understood.
I'm not. And that doesn't mean he's bad. That doesn't mean he might go somewhere else and help them out immensely. But in my situation, he's an asset right now that I have to use.
Also, maybe this isn't discussed enough, so that's on us. He appears to be problematic. Mm. Like, we like to talk about who's a problem in locker rooms and this and that, and everyone will believe every Jonathan Kuminga story, and it'll get reposted and aggregated and all of this stuff. But Jimmy Butler's comments about Jonathan Kuminga aren't getting aggregated. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green's comment. Maybe I'll say that's on us. We got to do a better job. We have heard a lot that he is a problem. A lot. So this whole, like, oh, he's one of the best centers. There are a multitude of reasons he shouldn't be in a Sacramento Kings uniform anymore. Just because he smiles in front of the camera and all of that doesn't mean that all is good with him. There's some problems. Mm-hmm. And that's what I say. Do you work on trying to figure that out? Let's all get on the same page and see if we can make whatever this next incarnation of the Kings work.
And one of the things when you talk about Domantas Sabonis here in Sacramento, he just can't, like, I'm all for getting better players than him in here and to the point where he doesn't have as much sway as he's had in the last couple of years. Like, you don't have that. You said it earlier in the handoff. Like, you ain't getting no say-so in this. You're either going to play and be effective or we can part ways, but decision making and, you know, having your input on that is not what we're doing no more.
Yeah, you don't get that. And he never should have had it, but whatever.